Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth stated, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. As usual, we have our home port crew with us today. Beth, our marketing coordinator, and Steve, who's the, what are you, Steve? What do you like to be called, your official title?
I'm not telling. Somebody might give me another job if I tell them what I'm not doing.
Steve does most of the technical work and keeps everybody honest, and I am the director, Janice. For those non-members out there, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America. It encompasses both the Atlantic and the Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our association is dedicated to passing information about AGLCA, but most important, the adventure and experience of the Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member. But over and above that, there's loads of free stuff that you can learn about the Great Loop. So visit the website and enjoy. Our guest host this week is Donna Stewart, the director of the Visitor Center on the Dismal Swamp. As our loopers head north on their journey, they can take two routes through North Carolina and Virginia. And Donna will explain the Dismal Swamp choice and why it's so special. Donna, tell us, first of all, how long, mileage-wise, is the Dismal Swamp?
Janice, thank you all for inviting me to be with you all today. The Dismal Swamp Canal is actually 22 miles long. So the passage from lock to lock, there's a South Lock in South Mills, North Carolina, and the Northern Lock is in Deep Creek, Virginia. The length of the canal is actually 22 miles between each lock.
I have to be honest with you, the time that we went far enough north, in fact, it may have been twice, we didn't take the Dismal Swamp, and I'm very, very curious about it. I don't know much at all, so if my questions seem mundane, I apologize, but I'm greatly curious.
Okay.
So it's 22 miles, so that's basically, for us, it would be, a large majority of our day.
And you have to coordinate with the lock timings as well. So both locks operate on the same locking schedule. Your lock from the outer lying waterway into your locked up on our south end, probably about 10 foot. On the north end, it's dependent on the tides, just the distance. But you're locked up into the canal. The locks operate at 8:30 and 11 a.m. and 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. They both lock on the same schedule, no matter whether you're headed north or south. We've had that question over the years. Someone in a publication had said it mattered which direction you were headed in, but that's not the case. They do want you there at the appointed hour, but if they do have vessels locking from both directions, it's a one-man show. They do it all. So you might have to wait a little while as a jockey to let people from both directions in. They also operate the lock. There's a drawbridge that's a short distance away that it also works in conjunction with the locks. And again, our lock masters are a one-man show. They do everything. So sometimes there might be a little bit of a delay there.
How wide is the canal in general?
It's about 80 feet wide.
And in general, if you're locking through, how many boats would you expect to see? I mean, I don't expect it to be as busy as the Intracoastal.
And that strictly depends on the time of the year. May in the spring is our busiest month, and October is our busiest month in the fall. At this time of the year, I'm looking out my window right now, and what a gorgeous view, but I have three large vessels tied up at our 150-foot face dock. I expect we'll have more before the evening's out because it's 3 o'clock, and some people that made the 130 lock in Deep Creek, if they're heading south, which most of our traffic at this time of the year is northbound. But it takes approximately from one lock to the other, because we're a no-wake zone, about 4 hours to transit from one lock to the next without a stop anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So, and there again, you have to think about the lock times and work in coordination with that. So I expect tonight when we leave here, we'll have several more boats tied up. But it just depends on the time of the year. In the winter, we don't see that many boats, an average of maybe, you know, 10 to 12 during the winter months like January, February. But then in March, it starts picking up, and we'll probably see between 200 and 300 boats this month.
My goodness, that's a lot of traffic.
We average, and we work very closely with the Army Corps of Engineers, and our contacts there give me a monthly report of how many lockings were done at all three of the locks, even though we're really not connected with the Great Bridge lock. So our totals are about close to 2,000 a year, average of about 2,000 boats a year that come through the canal.
Is there a fee to go through the canal, Donna?
There is not.
Oh, fantastic. And from what you've said, you can tie up overnight.
Yes. We have free dockage at our 150-foot face dock. We're a North Carolina visitor center. We provide travel and tourism information for the traveling public on Highway U.S. Highway 17, and we believe we're the only visitor center in the United States that greets both highway and waterway traffic on the ICW. So we have maps. We have the North Carolina Waterway Guide that we give out for free. We have a beautiful rest area with tall pines and well-manicured grounds. The Dismal Swamp State Park is adjacent to our building across the waterway, a 14,000-acre state park. And our rest area, the facilities are very nice, and our restrooms are open 24 hours a day. So when someone stays here, it's not just a place to tie up. They can get off. We've got picnic tables and well-manicured grounds and grills, and then there's trails, nearly 20 miles of trails over at the state park, boardwalk, and then in their visitor center, they have exhibits about the Dismal Swamp.
You just whet my interest. You're on the North Carolina-Virginia border, correct?
We're actually located 3 miles from the Virginia-North Carolina state line.
We are headed up that way this weekend. If we stopped at the Dismal Swamp Visitor Center by car, we could actually see the canal?
You could. Again, when you pull into our parking lot, it's really people come in all the time by car, and they go, what are those boats out there? Can we catch a ride on one of those boats? You know, we'll say, no, they're private pleasure boats, or they're on the Intercoastal Waterway. It's unexpected to
uh-huh.
see large sailboats or motorboats actually yards away from the parking lot.
You know, you mentioned size. Any constraint of size boat that can get through the locks or the canal?
Our locks are actually 52 feet wide and 300 feet long. So, of course, if there's so that would restrict a boat, they're 300 feet long. So to lock in, Of course, that would be a pretty large boat. But
yeah, you've got plenty of room in there. That's mm-hmm. a nice size.
And you know, they'll usually try to accommodate and get as many people in a locking, so they will, of course, tie people up to the sides and then put fenders in and work across when we're in the height of the boating season and trying to accommodate in less lockings. But that's not usually a major issue. But the canal, a lot of people will ask us when they're standing here how such a large boat can come through. But we tell them there's a beautiful pedestrian bridge that crosses the waterway over to our state park. And we tell people if they don't have time to come and take a walk at the park, if they just go over on that bridge, they can get a vantage view of both directions of the waterway, and you can really appreciate how wide the canal actually is. Standing on the bank, it's pretty, but you don't really appreciate the actual size. Our controlling depth is 6 foot, so that's the disadvantage that probably would keep more people away, because the Corps of Engineers, we would love to have funding for them to dredge us out deeper, but we do have that limitation.
That's all over the East Coast. I mean, it's a problem, but 6 feet is much more generous than the intracoastal in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any problem with flooding in the spring? Or, you know, I know Steve mentioned deadheads. Is it something that's easy to traverse, or do you really need to be on the lookout?
We tell people all the time, one of the things that makes people want to come this way is that because the tree line is like a wall on the sides of the banks, it just makes it so beautiful, and the dark tannic water is very reflective. But it also, the tannic water makes it difficult to see if a tree has gone in. We are a no-wake zone, and we tell all of our travelers that come through, if you have any issues at all, please make us aware of them. And if you can note your coordinates, that gives me a value when I call the Corps of Engineers, and we talk to them, I won't say daily, but very frequently, and just about whenever we are told of an issue, I have my contact to let know about any problems in the waterway. And U.S. Facilities, a contractor that they have, is in the waterway in a small boat. If there's something across the waterway that they can pull over until they can get something larger in, or if you just tell me you bump something in the water 2 miles from here, it gives me a judging point. But if I know something more directly or have a coordinate, that helps us to police the waterway and keep it safer for everybody.
I was going to ask about that. You know, if there is something, is it the Corps of Engineers? If it's something
the Army Corps of Engineers has jurisdiction over the canal, and they're the keepers of the canal.
Okay. How many visitors do you have at the visitor center itself?
That's a hard number to judge, but we keep statistics and have since the inception here 22 years ago. We have a meter that reads how many cars that come through our parking lot. And not everybody that uses the facility, they may use the restrooms and not take advantage of the visitor services that we have here.
Uh-huh.
But based on the state average of 2.7 people in each car, we see between 550,000 highway travelers to 600,000 highway travelers a year.
Amazing, my goodness.
And again, not everybody, some people may just come through to use the restrooms. Long-distance truckers may come just to pull in for a rest stop. A lot of people do take advantage, though, of the travel and tourism information we have. We are a tourism information center for the whole state of North Carolina.
Has the canal changed? I mean, is the feel of it or the look of it, has it changed at all over the years?
I don't believe so. I think it's been pretty constant, where there have been some areas that have been cleared along the waterway, but most of our boaters that come through tell us that that's why they choose to come through here, because it is so beautiful, and they feel almost as if they're in another world. Also, a lot of people, I don't know if they're aware of Lake Drummond, which is a 5,000-acre freshwater lake. It actually lies in the Great Dismal Swamp National Wildlife Refuge, and it lies in Virginia. But there is one offshoot, it's called the feeder ditch, off of the Dismal Swamp Canal. It has a controlling depth of 3 feet.
Ooh.
And you can take your dinghy
and
go back. There's a reservation. It's a primitive campground 3 miles into the swamp, and there is a small tram that can accommodate a small dinghy that weighs less than 1,000 pounds, including your motor. But a lot of our boaters, if they have the time and have a dinghy to do so, will go back to Lake Drummond, which is absolutely like you're in another world. A lot of huge cedars, cypress, Atlantic white cedar trees, we refer to them as junipers, around the waterway's edge. It is just beautiful. And again, it is a 5,000-acre freshwater lake.
I can't imagine that. I don't know how to phrase my question, but you've got the Dismal Swamp Canal, and you've got the route that the boats take. Is the outlying part of the canal really a swamp? Is that why it's called Dismal Swamp?
It was. There used to be over 1 million acres of land that was referred to as a Dismal Swamp, and over the years, George Washington is given a lot of credit for supposedly surveying the canal. But what we understand from some of our local historians is that he bought land as part owner with the intention to dig drainage ditches and farm timber and farm the land, drain it. Farm it. It proved too formidable a task, and he lost interest in it. And so certain parts of the swamp, during its history, most of the swamp has been logged at one point. That's not to say there's not 100-year-old trees or it's not a lot of forest land, but during its early days or many years ago, it was prized for timber because the timber was so disease-resistant, and it was used for shingles, for boating, things like that. So the swamp over the years of being ditched and things like that has changed a lot. But since the refuge became into existence and also the state park, their goal is to hopefully reestablish a lot of the properties that were there hundreds of years ago. They'll never be able to return it back to what it was, but they're protecting it. The wildlife is restoring. We have one of the largest black bear populations on the East Coast that live in the Dismal Swamp.
Really?
Yeah. Every now and then we'll have a boater tell us they've seen one swimming across the canal.
Oh, my goodness.
Lived here my whole life, and I've only ever seen one black bear, and that was actually on the highway, and he was running across the road in front of me. We have bobcat, deer, fox, beavers, otters. We have a large animal population.
What about birds? Is there anything indigenous?
Oh, yeah, over 200 neotropical birds. We are part of the North Carolina Birding Trail, and the refuge is known for next weekend they're having a birding festival in Suffolk, Virginia. Not this coming, but the next following weekend, a birding festival in Suffolk. Another thing that I want to mention is that a lot of people, Elizabeth City is our neighbor and friend, the closest city to us, 18 miles south of us. They're also known as a harbor of hospitality. And Charlotte Underwood, who is the director of tourism there, they take their jobs very seriously also in hospitality to boaters. And usually if boats are heading from us, they're going to go to Elizabeth City, and they also have a free harbor for a 48-hour stay.
I should ask, is there a restriction on how long you can stay at your dock?
Well, we say 24 hours, but we do have folks during bad weather. We're not going to run somebody off. We understand a lot of people prefer to stay put in the canal if they know bad weather's coming, because they're going to, further south of us, they're going to hit the Albemarle Sound and to the north the Chesapeake Bay. So it's not uncommon when bad weather's approaching for us to have somebody to stay with us for a few days, and that's perfectly fine.
You're not going to chase them away?
Oh, no.
Steve and I have done boating on both the bay and the sound, and I know what you speak of. If it's bad weather or if the wind is up, it can be pretty, pretty hairy.
And I'll mention one thing positively for the Army Corps of Engineers. We're known as a hurricane hole as well. And last year, Hurricane Irene came through in the fall, and we were actually closed. The canal was closed because we had a large fire in the refuge. It was caused by a lightning strike. And although it's not visible here, you won't see that fire or any of the remains of that fire along the waterway. But because of the smoke and because of fire crews accessing the fire using the state park, they had that also as an escape route. They wanted to keep the bridge down for safety reasons. So we were closed temporarily because of that. And around that time, Hurricane Irene came through. And we started getting phone calls about people wanting to bring their boats and leave them in the canal. And so we contacted the Corps of Engineers, and they graciously agreed to do a locking down at the south. Well, I think they did it at both ends. But we actually had 10 boats, I believe, stay with us during Hurricane Irene. They allowed them to come into the lock at South Mills and stay between the drawbridge and the lock. There are cleats through there. And we had several boats that stayed with us for several days until the Corps could get back through, too, and make sure the waterway was clear going back towards Elizabeth City.
Uh-huh.
So the Corps, they are very conscientious of this as well, and I really commend them for being willing to help the local boating community. We actually had a couple from Texas that had never been through a hurricane before, and they were one of the couples that stayed, had their boat between the lock and the bridge during Hurricane Irene.
Very interesting. What is the biggest draw? In other words, if you were making the choice at the Great Bridge of which way to go, what type person would choose the Dismal Swamp?
Someone that's got a little more time and cares about the journey and maybe not the speed. Of course, again, we have a limitation with our draft, but if that's not an issue, then it will take a little longer because of having to meet the locking schedules. But most of the people that come through tell us they do it over and over and over again because it is so beautiful.
Would you go through the locking schedule one more time, please, Donna?
Sure. The locks operate at both ends in Deep Creek and South Mills at 8:30 and 11 a.m., 1:30 and 3:30 p.m.
So, in other words, you do the 8 and the 1:30 and the 11 and the 3:30 if you were going through.
Well, say if you were heading from the north and you made the 8:30 locking in Deep Creek, it would take you approximately 3 hours to get to me and then another hour to get to the lock in South Mills.
So you're not going to be able to make the 8 and the 11, but you might be able to make the 8:30 and the 1:30.
Correct, correct.
Okay, so in other words, or then the 11 and the 3:30, whatever it is.
Correct, yes.
You basically have two choices a day then.
Yes, and there again, too, it depends on the time of year. So if you were heading from Elizabeth City, heading northward, say you had, we have the Carolina Loop, we call it. Some people will come down from the Chesapeake Bay and go down through Elizabeth City and then loop back up through the Currituck Sound and come back through Great Bridge, and that's what we call the Carolina Loop. So often, though, from Elizabeth City to the South Mills Lock, it's about 17 or 18 miles. That's going to take you about 3 hours in a sailboat. So if you're in the long hours of the summer or the longer part of the year, that's not a problem because the day is so long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the shorter hours when the days are shorter, that can prove a problem because you're going to have to leave in the dark. And you really don't, you know, that might not be something you want to do.
Right.
So it really depends on the time of the year and how much daylight's in the day as well for your sailing.
Right. Most of our trawlers go, I don't know, Steve, maybe slightly faster than a sailboat.
Oh, yeah, sailboat's probably 6 knots and the trawler's 7.
Right. Yeah. And our canal is a no-wake zone, so we ask you to go 5 knots. Or.
Oh, I forgot that. That's going to impact the charm quite a
See?
Bit also.
So that has to be factored in, too. And we also tell folks, when you leave our canal, if you were heading south, when you leave our canal, you go through an area called Turner's Cut, and that somewhat is partially man-made also, I understand. And it's similar to the canal in that it's narrow, and you probably wouldn't want to fly through there. When you get into part of the river that's wider, you can speed up as you're heading towards Elizabeth City. But we usually tell people, take your time until you get to a wider part of the river, because that same concern that if a tree had gone in and you couldn't see anything because the water is so tannic. And so the same caution would be to just take your time until you get into the wider part of the river, and then you can crank it up and let it go. But when you're departing us or as you're approaching the South Mills Lock, you probably wouldn't want to go as fast.
Great.
Donna,
do you want to mention a little bit about your weekend coming up?
Sure. This will be our 9th annual Paddle for the Border event. It was started to celebrate the historic Dismal Swamp Canal. We work with the City of Chesapeake Parks and Rec Department, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Dismal Swamp State Park, and also the Great Dismal Swamp National Wildlife Refuge, and then our center work together to do this event every year. This year we'll have 362 paddlers in the water. They will come and drop off their craft here, drive back down to the Ballahack Road boat ramp area, park their cars, and be motor coach shuttled back to us. They'll have breakfast. They'll paddle starting at 8:30 in the morning to the Ballahack Road boat ramp. That's about a 7.5-mile paddle. And it's not a race, it's not a contest, it's just for fun and to enjoy and celebrate the waterway. And then they will, when they finish their paddle, there'll be tents and picnic tables and food on the other end in Chesapeake. It is registration always sells out at, we usually start registration usually in January or February, and usually in about a 4-week time span we fill up. This year we added a few more boats. We're allowing 325 watercraft this year. And again, we sold out in a short period of time, and we've ended up with 362 paddlers. It's usually great. We have a lot of volunteers that help to support it. We have tons of support in the water, EMT boats and things like that, that make it a very safe event for novices as well as paddlers with a lot of experience. So that's Saturday.
The canal is closed to regular boat traffic during that time.
Pardon?
I would assume the canal is closed to regular boat traffic during
We are not closed. But what I usually do, what we do on Friday evening, we'll let all of our boaters that have come in. The Corps has put out a mariner's alert ahead of time through the Coast Guard. But we'll let all of our boaters that are here know what the situation is, and our lock masters do the same, so that if our event, our paddlers will start arriving about 7 o'clock in the morning, but the event starts about 8:30. So we tell folks the night before, you might want to get ahead of the fray, or you might want to wait just a little later before you take off. And everybody is usually very agreeable and works very well together.
Great. Well, this has been quite interesting, Donna. I want to thank you.
Well,
Janice, thank you again for inviting me to be a part of this.
I think Janice? Steve has a question or two, Donna. Do you have another minute?
Sure.
The primary question I have is, are there any anchorages in the canal itself?
Well, yes and no. You can drop anchor anyway, anywhere. But what I'm told by boaters that because, again, of all of our tree line and tree things, that the water being so dark and tannic that you can't see, there might be a deadhead on the bottom or there might be some branches on the bottom that your anchor may get tangled up in. So it might be difficult to retrieve it. We don't really have any current to speak of. So if you drop anchor during the night, they do have a lot of times, because there's many water structures throughout the swamp, including like the one I mentioned that goes back to Lake Drummond, when we have rainfall, a lot of times they're letting water out of that lake and the swamp into the canal, and then they open the wickets at each end by our lock systems. So there can be a slight current. So during the night when you wake up the next morning, because there is a slight current in the waterway, you may shift a little bit. You wouldn't want to have your mast over, or like a sailboat, over closer to the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those obstacles that to overcome. We do have, I would say about 7 miles north of us, the Corps of Engineers has a small dock called Arbuckle's Landing. One boat can easily tie up there, and that's a place it's allowed for you to stay overnight as well. But they discourage you from tying up to the fenders at the drawbridge in South Mills. They actually discourage you from doing that at both ends by the drawbridge. I know that some boaters have done that in the past, but they kind of discourage that. There are cleats between the drawbridge and the lock itself. So if people want to be a little closer to the lock, there's an area in South Mills between the drawbridge and the lock where there's cleats on the side that they can easily tie up to. And in Deep Creek, between the drawbridge and the lock, there's a really nice facility, Elizabeth's Dock. It's a community dock there that people can tie up as well.
So there's, in addition to your, what did you say, it was 150-foot dock?
Yes, correct.
Okay, that was my primary question.
Yeah. And people do it, but I have been told by some of our local boaters, you might have a snag with your anchor, and because, you know, whatever may be on the bottom. Unfortunately for us here, the Corps is wonderful about coming in, and she did bring, they brought in their barge crane probably in February. Our river lock was completely refurbished. The Corps had budgeted that. They do it about every 15 years. They take the locks completely out, sandblast them, repaint them, refit them with gaskets and things like that. And that was done this winter in January and February. And they brought the Elizabeth in before we reopened to try to go through the whole canal and try to clear out as much as they could before we reopened.
But this comment I had about anchoring in the canal itself is, I don't think I'd do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
No idea who might be coming at you in addition to the problem of snagging a deadhead.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me.
Well, the canal, too, you can see pretty well for a long ways, because it's pretty much a straight shot. There is one little crook in the canal, but you can see in a pretty good distance people who are coming and going.
Yeah, I guess, you know, what I'm thinking about it is, once the 3 o'clock lock is done, there's not a lot of people moving.
No.
They can't go anywhere.
No, it's a captive audience.
Yeah. So, anyway, those were my two questions. You answered them, so we're good.
Okay.
Beth, do you have anything?
She's got her microphone shut off right now.
Okay. Well, Donna, again, thank you.
Enjoy
your busy weekend coming up, and we have lots of you loopers out there. Visit the Dismal Swamp. It's supposed to be breathtaking. Take your time and smell the roses.
Thank you, Janice
again.
And Steve.
Website, www.greatloop.org. Our shows are archived on our webpage at Blog Talk Radio and at iTunes. Next week, we'll be traveling from our spring rendezvous. We are going to have a replay of the very interesting talk by Ron and Eva Staub, the founders of America's Great Loop. So listen in next Friday at 10 o'clock, and we'll be back the week after. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.